Welcome to another episode of Practical Azure. I'm Jim O'Neill, a technical evangelist in the Boston area, and your host for this series. Our topic today is Windows Azure Media Services, so let's get started. Windows Azure Media Services sits in the application layer on the Azure diagram here, and it's indeed more of an application than many of the other services we've covered before. Media Services has a rather specific target audience, namely ISVs that are building management solutions for media services, as well as partners that are looking to provide value-added components to the offering. You'd look into using media services if you were building, say, a Channel 9 type presence for your company or your client, where there's a need to process, encode, deliver, and manage a significant number of media assets. Media services leverages some of the key Windows Azure components we've talked about previously, most notably blob storage, but it also pulls in functionality that was previously only available in the on-premises Microsoft Media platform, and it lets you extend that with third-party offerings as well. If you look at the way this video is being delivered on MSDN, for instance, you'll note that there are multiple file formats available, and you're able to view the content in a variety of clients, web browser, phone, iPod, PC, and so on, each receiving the content via direct download or via smooth streaming options. I, of course, have recorded this only once for my laptop, and then a workflow of ingestion, encoding, and publication ensued. Workflows like that are exactly what Windows Azure Media Services is all about. It won't be something all of you have a need for, but for those of you that do, it's a pretty amazing package of functionality. So let me give you a quick tour. So like all the other services we talked about before, it all starts by creating a new service. So I'm going to hit the new option here. We're going to go to App Services and Media Service and do a quick create. Like all the services inside of Windows Azure, it has to have a unique name, so I'm going to call it Jim Media, and hopefully that's not been taken. It hasn't, so we're good there. I need to pick a region that's going to host my service, so I'm going to pick something close to me. East US works for me. Now, the way that the media services works, media services actually stores a lot of the metadata about the various pieces of media that you're managing. The actual media itself, what you convert and the videos and so on, it gets stored in a blob storage account. So I need to have a blob storage account associated with this particular media service. And I'm just going to create a new one here, and we'll go ahead and create the media service. It takes about a minute or two to create this service, so we'll let it go through its machinations and come back in a second or two. Now that the service is active, let's dive a little bit deeper into the portal and see what's there. There's a quick start screen that gives you some advice on how to get started with this particular media service, and we're going to get back to this a little bit later. A lot of this stuff is kind of code-focused, so I want to give you a little bit of a tour of the portal first. So there's the dashboard, and the dashboard shows, as you'd probably expect, your utilization of the service, the status, the URL, and so on. At the bottom of the dashboard, you'll notice there's a Manage Keys option. So any request that you send to media services is going through a REST-based API. So these keys are actually being used to sign the request that you're going to deliver either through the REST-based API or some of the SDKs that are available. You'll see that there's two keys available, and that allows you to recycle the keys without having any downtime. If you recall how we work with Windows Azure Storage, it similarly has two keys like that, so you can do that recycling. I'm going to skip over scale for just a moment, and let's go to content. So the content page is blank right now, but this is where all of your media assets will be listed. And an asset is a logical grouping of files associated with some specific media piece. So let's say you have an MP4 file of some video. You might have thumbnails associated with it, there's metadata and those types of things. So content is kind of a wrapper for that, or it's more specifically an asset is kind of a wrapper for that. And the content tab will show you all of the different assets. So let's go ahead and put something up into media services. So I'm going to use the upload button at the bottom here. And I've got a couple of videos available locally, so I'm going to just browse to one that one of my colleagues has done. It's a short little video on getting started with Windows 8. So I'm going to upload that content. And when I do that, what's actually happening is I'm pushing that content up into the associated blob storage account that's associated with the media services. And it will get loaded up into the account. Now you'll see that it says figuring it out WMV source. So this is the source video that we want to do something with. Now in this particular case, I want to take this video and encode it in a format that I can use to deliver perhaps in a Silverlight player. So how would I do that? Well, I would go down to the encode option here, and what you'll notice is there's a number of presets for very common file formats that you might want to deliver your media in. There is a Flash Silverlight, and that's the one we're going to use, but you'll also notice there's a ton of other presets here in terms of H.264 if you want to deliver it for iOS, if you want to deliver it for a cell phone experience versus a full-up tablet or PC type of experience. Lots of different options here. I can pick them one by one and generate the encoded format. In general, if I'm going to need a number of these formats, I will probably resort to some sort of programmatic solution. And that's something we're going to look at a little bit later. But for now, let me just encode this as a Silverlight format. I'm going to hit the checkbox here. And what this is going to do is essentially going to fire off an encoding job. And if I switch over to the Jobs tab here, you will notice that I have a job that started, and it's essentially tracking the progress of this particular encoding. The encoding will take about 4 or 5 minutes, so we are going to come back to this point when it's 100% done, and then we'll take it from there. Now, after the encoding is complete, a new asset appears in the Content tab, and a new file will also appear in Blob Storage. So the new asset here refers to the encoded media, the Silverlight encoded media that I just created. It's not quite available for the public yet because it hasn't been published, but if I publish it through the link at the bottom here, what that will do will be create a new URL that I can then use to link inside of a web page or whatever type of client that I might have that wants to access this particular video. Now that I have a publication URL, I'll be able to use this URL and say a Silverlight page to display the video to end users, or I can potentially use it inside of a Windows 8 or a Windows Phone type application as well, depending on the media type. Now I can always play the video inside of the portal as well, just to make sure that it's all done. And there you can see the video playing in the background in, again, the Silverlight Smooth Streaming format. So let's quickly cover the other two tabs here. We have linked resources. So linked resources is essentially just informational and shows you the media service processors we've been using. So we use Media Encoder here, and we actually use the streaming as well in this particular example, kind of behind the scenes. And you also see a link to the backing store. So this is the Blob Storage that's storing all the encoded videos that we're creating. The scale is something that we skipped over a little bit earlier. And what scale allows me to do is to increase the throughput and the performance of the service. So I can do two things on the scale tab. I can increase the amount of sort of streaming bandwidth I have in the data center. So this could give me a better end user experience if I expect a lot of streaming clients to come online. So I can purchase what are called essentially bandwidth units to provide that better streaming experience. And then on the encoding slider at the bottom, what that allows me to do is set up essentially a degree of parallelism for all the encoding tasks. So in this particular case, we encoded it essentially one format, but you might have multiple different formats. And by moving this bar, it allows me to create up to 25 simultaneous media encoding jobs that will get run obviously at the same time and get you sort of quicker throughput. Let's go back now to the quick start page, which is kind of where we entered into the portal experience. Now below the management task, which is kind of what we just did through the portal, you can see that you can actually download a fully functional console application. And this console application here actually uses the .NET SDK to perform similar uploading and media encoding tasks that we did in the portal, but it gives you a lot more flexibility because now you have a programmatic interface to doing these things. So what I'd like to do next is let's take a quick tour of that particular code. So I'm going to download the code file here, and we'll save it. Let's just save it in my downloads folder. And it's just a small little file, so now that it's saved, I just need to extract it, and then we'll crack open Visual Studio and take a look and see what's inside. So the code here actually incorporates a very similar workflow to what I just did in the portal, but there's a number of classes and calls and so on that carry out the process. So I kind of want to walk you through some of the core APIs that are being used, and you'll be able to sort of meld them or merge them into what we did as part of the portal walkthrough. The media service keys that are part of my specific account are already built into this application. So if you'll notice, the app.config already has the two keys in here, or my account name and the key that I need to essentially sign all the API calls. So when I actually look at the code, you'll notice that the first thing that we're going to do here is we're going to instantiate what's called a cloud media context. Now all of these unresolved references are going to resolve quickly as soon as I build the application. But the cloud media context is the entry point into accessing the various aspects of media services from a programmatic interface. The other thing I'm going to do here right quickly is put a little bit of code in here, because when I run this application, the The console is going to come up, and then all of a sudden it's going to go away when it's done, and I don't want that to happen. I want the console to stay up. So I'm going to put the console write line in there, and I'm going to do a quick build. And once we do a build, the references to the SDK and so on will all be resolved. And we should see the build succeeded here, and all the little squiggles go away, which is a good thing. And now I'm just going to start the application. So we'll let the application run in the background. Again, it's just a simple console application, so it's not very exciting from a visual perspective, but it's going to be doing a lot on the back end. And while this is running over here in the corner, what I want to do is kind of walk through some of the steps that you would do in terms of a programmatic interface to media services. So as I mentioned, Cloud Media Context is the entry point. And there's the account name and the account key that were stored in the app config file and come directly from your media services account. Now, if we scroll down a little bit further here, you'll notice that we are creating an empty asset. So the empty asset is what's going to show up on that content tab inside of the portal, and this is what's going to hold the media file that's going to be encoded. And in this case, we're going to do a simple get file name and create media assets from a simple file. And this is all kind of hard-coded as part of this example, but you should get the idea that you can add multiple files into an asset. And then as you move down the process, what will happen next is that we're going to skip down a little bit here, and we're going to create a job. So by creating a job, essentially that's the same thing as saying, I want to encode this as Silverlight, or I want to encode this as H.264, or what have you. So we're going to create a job. Inside of the job are multiple tasks. So each task is a separate encoding task. So now you can see in this particular case where I could add multiple different encodings and get that same video in, you know, H.264, Silverlight, Flash, what have you, versus if I did it through the portal, kind of one-off, one at a time. So this is going to be a little bit more effective for sort of real tasks. So I create the job. I specify that I want to do encoding tasks, and then I add multiple tasks for each of the output formats that I want. I specify to each task, this is the input, so this is the input file, the input asset that I want to encode, and this is where I want you to put the result in something called output asset in this particular case, and then I just submit the job. So typically what you're going to do here in a programmatic interface is you're going to register an event handler that allows you to sort of tap into the progress, so you can kind of see if you're 10% done, 20% done, or what have you, and then you submit the job, and then you just simply wait for the job to be complete. And after that point, you should have an output asset that you would be able to see in your content tab in the portal. We'll go back to that in just a moment. But beyond that, you now have programmatic access to essentially consuming that content as well. So the rest of the code that you're going to see down here from lines about 130 on are sort of the consumption aspect of media services. So the first part is let's get something encoded, and the second part is, hey, now I'm a client and I want to consume this content. How do I access it through media services? And it's a very similar process in terms of using some of the APIs that are part of media services and getting essentially access to the publication URL. Once you have that publication URL, you can use that in whatever view, whatever video viewer that you want, in whatever context you want to display that media to your clients. So let's go back to the console for a second here, and it looks like the console went away after all. And it might have gone away because I probably put a write line instead of a read line in there. So I made a little mistake there, but you get the idea that it sort of did the conversion. So let's go back into the content tab, and hopefully we should see something there. So there's our output that we did through the portal, and we have another job or another asset that got uploaded. This is the input asset that we did from the C# console program. And we also have the output asset from that C# console program. And if I go over here to look at jobs, there should be another job that got listed as a result of our code. So there's my encoding job. You probably remember that that eye catcher when we actually created the job in code. And I could look at the details to see if there were any errors or any of those types of things. But this was pretty straightforward. And let's go back to the content tab here right quick. And there's the output asset. And I should be able to run this as well. And we'll see what the... So there we go. That was the little demo piece that got uploaded as part of that sort of that canned piece of console application code. So there we are. So we have essentially a full tour here. We walk through the portal itself to do this sort of manually through the HTML5 interface that is the portal. And then we've also did it programmatically through the SDK, the .NET SDK. But there's also a REST-based SDK, and there's actually a Java SDK as well. So it didn't have to be a .NET console application. You could have written the console application or any other type of application in essentially a language of your choice to get the job done. So with that, let's head back to the closing slide for a few more references, and we'll finish this up. You can start exploring media services as well as any of the other Azure services with the Windows Azure trial account that you can provision via the link that you see here. And for media services per se, take a look at the overview of the tutorials provided on the main Azure site for a variety of scenarios and code examples. For client-side solutions that leverage content delivered by Windows Azure Media Services, I've also provided a couple of links to SDKs and frameworks that cover a number of platforms, including Windows 8, Windows Phone, iOS, and Android. Thanks for joining me for this episode of Practical Azure. We've got one more item to cover in the application layer, namely Windows Azure Mobile Services, and that's the topic of the next episode. Thank you again for watching, and have a great day.